Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm Matt Hansen.
And you're listening to the Nerd Party.
Talk nerdy to me.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
This is episode 30 of the Nerd Party. Can you believe that? Episode 30.
Episode 30 and a little over a year later.
I mean, like, because this is a bi-weekly podcast, you know, like, yeah, we're not in the 50s or anything like that, or even the 40s, but for bi-weekly and a little over a year, I think we've developed some pretty good shows over the past year.
I think so, too. It's certainly been a fun year. But unfortunately, we're recording this on August 30th, which means that the summer movie season is officially over. Which means that we are now in the dry spell in between now and November, with the exception of a couple movies. So, not too much happening in nerd world. I mean, yeah. I think all of it is gearing up towards. Usually, it's one of three movies. It's either, like, I've seen the promotion starting for obviously Spectre, and then, you know, Hunger Games, the last one, and then of course now the marketing is ramping up on Star Wars.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more Star Wars-related material ever since, you know, the summer starts to decline. And it's like, you know, we don't even have our summer replacements anymore when it comes to, you know, nerddom or geekdom. It's interesting. Like, right now, all I have to really look forward to is, besides the movie releases that we've already talked about, but is, like, DVD releases and Blu-ray releases and things like that. Like, Ultron's coming out in October, is that right?
October 2nd, the digital release is coming September 8th. I'm not one of those that actually springs for digital releases because I like having a physical thing, but I want to see that movie again, so I might actually spend money on the digital release.
I did that with Gone Girl.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's not unusual.
It's not unusual. I mean, I think that was the first and only time that I've done that where I bought a digital release knowing that I was going to go buy a Blu-ray eventually, but I just could not wait. I needed to see this movie again.
Well, especially considering that it's like a full month in between digital release and October, and I know that my obsessive compulsive mind will just think that this is a whole month where I could have been watching this movie and instead of waiting here for the physical release.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that that's why they do that, is because they know that they have us. They know who the nerds are. And they know, they're like, these geeks are going to buy the DVDs anyway, so let's throw them a bone with the digital release so that we can have them double dip.
Yep. And we shouldn't fall for it, but I'm going to. I just know I'm going to.
Okay, here's the thing. And I know that I think I just explained myself. I think explained why they're not going to do what I'm just about to suggest, is that there are certain things where there's certain times. I think I did this with a Walking Dead season. Yeah, I pre-ordered The Walking Dead on Blu-ray, I think like season 4 or something like that. And after I pre-ordered it, they immediately sent me an email saying, hey, here's the digital code. As soon as the digital release is released, you can watch that, and then we'll ship you the Blu-rays. And I was like, this is amazing. This is the way it should be. If I pre-order a Blu-ray that has a digital HD component to it, they should give us the code early so that we can watch it immediately, and then, because we've already bought the Blu-ray, they already have our money.
Ah, but Tristan, you're not thinking like an advertising exec. Why if you already have your money, why not take your money again?
That's what I'm saying, is that, like, I already explained it earlier. I was like, that's the reason why, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I want it. Like, I would pre-order so many more movies if I knew that I got the digital release for free a month earlier. I would do that. I would.
I mean, well, the thing is, movies are coming with digital copies now, but you're right. You're not getting the release when the digital release comes out. You're getting it when you get your physical copy.
Right.
So, oh well, but I will be. So there's, you know, at least $40 more down the drain on top of the $50 that I just spent for the Age of Ultron t-shirt that I bought over the weekend.
Jeez, you spent $50 on a t-shirt?
It was special made through Amazon.
Oh my gosh. You sent me a photo of it, and it's a nice shirt, but you didn't tell me it was $50.
Well, you know, it's 30-something, but plus shipping and handling.
Okay. Jeez. Well, I see. We had a actually, you know what? Let's extend this conversation onto our podcast here. We were talking about geek t-shirts. Now, that's a big part of geek culture, is wearing our pride, you know, wearing our geek shirts. You know, it's not just buying figurines or buying posters or going to events, but it's actually geek shirts. Like, the geek shirt community is huge. There's so many websites, and you can have a shirt for anything, and you can even have one made. And, you know, like, there's websites that have, like, flash specials for, like, you can buy this shirt only today, you know, things like that, where pretty much you'll see more Doctor Who than anything. Like, boom, you're like, I feel like some people roll the dice. It's just like, okay, we're going to have a TARDIS with Pikachu popping out. Boom, new t-shirt.
Yeah.
But we were talking behind the scenes about geek t-shirts and about how there are certain geek shirts you'd wear in public and certain ones you wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems to me that geek is more in these days, but there are still certain stigmas attached to certain t-shirts. I mean, things that are still seen as particularly niche. Now, Doctor Who is growing in America, but before I remember that being a very niche market. The one that, you know, unfortunately still seems to have somewhat of a stigma attached to it, though less so because of some of the new material that's come out, is Star Trek.
You know what? When you first told me that, I initially had a knee jerk where I was like, no, you're wrong. Like, no, that's not true. I was like, it's just like any other geek t-shirt. But the more that I think about it, the more that I think you're right, because I'll wear my Batman shirt anywhere. Like, I have a couple of Batman shirts where it's just the it's just the logo. It's just the bat.
And you know I'm going to be wearing my Avengers shirt because, you know, in our geek world, in our geek culture, you know, the Avengers are in.
Right, yeah. Like, everybody goes and sees the Avengers. Everybody goes and sees Batman. But Star Trek is still niche. I mean, like, yeah, with the J.J. Abrams explosion, you have a whole lot more new fans. It's more targeted towards the masses. But I don't really have that many Star Trek shirts. Like, the only one that I had for a long time before Char, my partner on To the Journey, bought me a new one with a Riker. With Riker on it, and he's doing the Riker lean, which is awesome. The only other one that I had was something that my parents got me out of like a cereal box, where it was the J.J. Abrams uniform. It was the gold uniform, but with short sleeves. Now, that looks like a uniform, and so it looks more like a costume. I'm not going to wear a costume out in public, even though, like, if someone wears like a Dolphins jersey, you know, they're just an athletic fan. But if I wear that that uniform from Star Trek, then I'm a weirdo.
Well, not just that. I mean, unfortunately, and I wish this was it is somewhat changing because of the new movies and because of the availability of the old episodes. But, you know, for example, I just got my first Star Trek t-shirt, too, and it wasn't by my own buying. You know, my co-host from the Delta Quadrant bought me one when we were in Vegas together. But, you know, it's a Klingon symbol with, you know, to be or not to be printed on the back in, like, small quotes because I like Star Trek VI.
Nice.
But, you know, it's the Klingon symbol. So, like, unfortunately with Star Trek, because it's still a niche market, you wear that out in public and you're going to get the inevitable question of what's that?
But see, with the Klingon symbol, that's so esoteric that I think it could go unnoticed. It'd just be like, oh, I don't understand that, and they walk away.
No, but it's got, like, Klingon lettering. Like text on it too.
So as nerds, you know, there's this whole movement of be proud of who you are. Mm-hmm. Be proud that you're geek, be proud that you're a nerd. You know, like, you know, the whole thing of like there's no such thing as weird anymore. You know, everyone is allowed to be who they want to be. Like, if you wanted to walk around with a chicken on your head, like, who the hell are we to say that you're not allowed to wear a chicken on your head? Now, with that in mind, why are there still reservations? Why is there still hesitations with us wearing Star Trek shirts? Because we're huge Star Trek fans. It's our most beloved franchise between the two of us, but we still have hesitations. Is it because we grew up in a time when we could have gotten our ass kicked for wearing a shirt like that?
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I wonder if, going forward, the people who became fans or are learning Star Trek through this new incarnation, the J.J. Abrams universe, where it's actually cool and mainstream and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there'll be less of a stigma attached to that generation. But we grew up in a time where, although Star Trek was everywhere, and it was arguably at the height of its popularity until now, there was still a stigma attached to it, and you got made fun of for it. So I think that's just been inbred to us because it was inbred to us during our formative teenage years.
You know, I think that's right. I'm going to call that right now as I'm saying that's nerd party law, where we just passed the legislation of that's the reasoning, you know, that some of us might be gun shy is because we were raised on the fear of getting our asses kicked for wearing a Star Trek shirt. Now, the thing is, in middle school and high school, I had a Star Trek shirt that I wore all the time, and I got made fun of it for it ruthlessly, but I didn't care because I wanted to be different. Like, I was like, I'm a Star Trek fan, so what? I got made fun of. I got, like, the shirt somebody like tried to pull the shirt off of me one time. I've gotten into physical fights just because they're like, seriously, like the whole nerd, you know, thing. And it was the women of Star Trek. That's what it was. It said the women of Star Trek on it. It had all the women on a column.
I think I remember that shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. I freaking loved that shirt. I was a huge fan of that shirt because I was like, women, hell yeah. You know, like, women in Star Trek, women are empowered in Star Trek. Women should be empowered in life. And I'm a huge Star Trek fan. So it kind of showed who I was on multiple facets. But yet, people would just point and laugh, point and stare. But like I said, if I was wearing a sports jersey, wouldn't matter.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if only we could have been as strong-willed as you, Tristan. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean that as a fact because, you know, I would have worn a Star Trek shirt, but I just was so bullied throughout middle and high school that I just kind of wanted to be the person that disappeared in the corner. And hell no, I wasn't going to take a chance wearing something like that and drawing more attention to myself than there already was.
See, that's the thing is that, like, I wish I was a little bit more like you because I wish I avoided the fight every once in a while. But, like, I was the kid who was just like, bring it on!
See, and I always wanted to be friends with those kids, but I was too afraid to approach them.
Yeah, it's messed up.
That's how I became in college. But that's a conversation for another day. But, yeah, I think that's really why that stigma exists. And, you know, the nice thing is, and of course the stigma doesn't exist here, but the nice thing is when you eventually go to Las Vegas, Trisha, which we're still hoping for next year, I mean, you all see all kinds of things, like crazy mm-hmm. things. And it's all really cool, and it's very accepting, and it's very open. And next year I actually will buy a Star Trek shirt and wear it to the convention because then, I'm among my peers, so to speak. I do think, though, that, you know, we're very proud of having our geek flag fly. Unfortunately, I think that some people may take it a little too far, but... We were talking about this behind the scenes too. I'm not going to start naming my children after Star Trek characters, you know.
that was another conversation we had where a friend of mine just had a little girl, and I'm not going to say what the name is, but it was a name from a popular franchise, and it's very unusual. It's a literary franchise. It's a very unusual name. Very like hard to spell, hard to pronounce. And you and I kind of had this conversation of what's the equivalent in our world. And automatically we thought of Star Trek and we're like, okay, we're not going to name our kid Seven
or Data
or something like that. But then like I had to confess to you that I have pitched before, like I have no children as of right now. But I have pitched to my wife, you know what would be a great middle name? Jadzia. I think that would be a good middle name. And honestly, I think it's pretty.
Well, I have a friend, and a fellow podcaster on the Trekmate Network who named his daughter Ezri. You know, stuff like that, Jadzia and Ezri, I think those sound like names, number one. They sound like mm-hmm. girls' names, and they're not so impossible to pronounce, and they're actually kind of pretty. So, you know, right. I think that something like that could work. I think I confessed to you in the same kind of conversation that for daughters, I was thinking either Deanna or Natasha, but not after Yar, after Black Widow.
And see, that's the thing. Those are real names. Those are solid names. And like people would hear that name and go like, oh, pretty name. They wouldn't think like, oh, you must be a huge Star Trek fan.
Right.
You know? But yeah, I think it's kind of going back into this, like even within the Trek community, there's judgment going on with, you know, certain extremes here and there of mm-hmm. how big of a fan are you and how, you know, like how far do you take it? Like, you know, you spend thousands upon thousands of dollars and you fill your room with merchandise. Yeah, a lot of people do that. You know, like there are some people who I see where, like when they have conversations with people, they will, it's almost like they're playing a role playing game when they have the conversation. You're like, okay, I'll meet you at the restaurant in 5 minutes. And they're like, okay, T-5 seconds or 5 minutes from a shuttle Tidarian, you know, like we're going to launch at warp speed in order to get there. And I'm just kind of like, ooh, okay, all right.
Let's take it down about 5 notches, shall we?
Yeah. Stuff like that. But at the same time, like we here at the Nerd Party, we preach positivity and non-judgment. But at the same time, you're just kind of like, really, dude? Really? This is what we want to do? All right. All right. If that's what you want to do.
I know. And it's, you know, not to make us sound hypocritical, but when stuff like that happens and then we're in public with a bunch of people around us, it's just like, oh no, people are listening to us. Can we keep this down, please?
It's true. It's true. And it's our own insecurity. That's what it is. That's the thing, is that like that person's a like no matter how foolish we think that person is.
No, they're brave. I just say that they have bigger balls than me.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the point I was trying to make, is like no matter how foolish we think that they are, they're brave in their foolery. And like it takes a lot of balls in order to be that brave in public and not give a crap what people think of you, because that's the big thing, is that like I've always prided myself in not caring what other people think, like doing what I need to do in order to get the job done, or never excuse who I am to another individual. But I still don't want to act like a fool in front of other people, but there are people out there who are like, this is who I am, and part of that is foolish, and I just don't care what you think. That has a lot of bravery.
It does, and I think we've actually talked about this before on another show, where I think people can be as bold as they want to be. I think people can be as geeky as they want to be, as long as they have their priorities straight in life.
Right,
like,
right.
I buy my $50 Avengers Age of Ultron t-shirt, but that's after I know that I've already paid my bills for the month and that I can afford it.
Right, right. Yes, yes, absolutely. That's the key thing, and... It's let's think of it this way. Let's think of it this way. If there was no judgment, okay? All right, no judgment. Like, you were completely comfortable with who you are, all right?
Uh-huh.
And you were just like, you know what? This is accepted. This is like, kind of like the world where, let's say the world where Muppets exist, okay? You know, like, Muppets are walking around, and people are just like, people don't scream like, oh my god, like, why is that Muppet there? It's just a world that is accepted.
By the way, this would be a world where Gonzo is still classified as a whatever.
Exactly, exactly. That kind of world. So let's say it's that kind of world. And so we get to wear whatever we want. And I could go into my business meeting, like my weekly with a VP that I have, and I could walk in there dressed as Batman, and he would go, hey, Tristan, nice to see you. How you doing? And we'd have our meeting. So, say this world exists. This world exists. What would you dress as? What would you wear to that business meeting or to the world? What would you do?
I don't know. That's a good question. If I had a more toned physique, I would go for the Captain America.
You'd wear the Captain America outfit. Like, which one? Like Winter Soldier?
No, the first Avenger one with the shield and everything.
So you would wear the shield on your back, just like walking into work, like, you know, saying like, hey, yeah, no, I can totally take care of those lawyer fees for you. You know, like, that's uh-huh. the entire reason why I'm here.
Yeah, and exactly.
Are you wearing the cap too? Like, are you wearing the mask?
Not in face-to-face meetings, but when I go out in public, put the cap on and
nice.
Take the shield off and put it on my hand.
I like that. Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's solid. Yeah, you don't wear the cap or the shield indoors. Because that'd be rude, right? Because the cap doesn't even do that.
No. You see, he takes the meeting with Nick Fury. He's wearing the outfit, but he doesn't have the cap on.
Right, right. Okay. All right. So that says something about you. See, that's the thing, is that like that's what we would wear. That's what you would wear, because the only thing that's stopping us is propriety and judgment.
Although I will say, on Halloween a couple of years ago, it was my first Halloween working in the office, and I did wear the a Star Trek costume. Not like a full uniform, but like the what I really like are the, you know, the new black undershirts for the J.J. Abrams universe, what Kirk wore and what Khan wore.
Absolutely.
I wore that, and I took my Abrams style phaser with me, and that's kind of what I wore that day to the office, because we were allowed to.
Those are my favorite types of Star Trek shirts. The moment I saw Star Trek 09, I was just like, I want that black shirt. That's a cool black shirt.
Yeah, and it was.
I wore 1989 Batman shirt, so like the yellow bat symbol, mm-hmm. like Michael Keaton one, and I just wore a black blazer over it. So
that's cool.
That's what I wore on Halloween. So I knew I could get away with something, but. We have a very professional office.
Yeah, well, so do we.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, even on Halloween, like, it was not said that you could do anything on Halloween.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't be all slutty in the office, but
a slutty potato. Now, with me, I don't know what I would wear. Like, I honestly don't know what I would wear on public,
You wouldn't go full Batman, you.
I don't think I would go full Batman. No, I've never really... Even though Batman is my absolute favorite superhero of all time, and I actually just got done playing Batman, playing the Arkham Knight on Xbox One, I don't think I would put on the full costume. I've never really had the urge to put on the full costume except for, like, on Halloween, you know, like when I was a little kid. So, like, as an adult, no, I think... What I would do is, I would dress, see, I don't know, I feel like my style would be weirder, like, it would be, like, I'd probably put on, like, the, it's kind of popular right now, like, post-apocalyptic chic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, like the weird necks that kind of are asymmetrical and go up on one side, and, like, you have, like, a fishtail jacket that's long on one side, you know, and everything like that. And it looks like it's desert gear, but, like, in a futuristic video game, you know, stuff like
actually,
that.
I mean, you say that, and, you know, what comes to mind for me is, and I would definitely wear this if it wasn't so freaking hot, which is what the kind of, like, the overcoat and the long cape thing that Khan wore in Into Darkness. Now, whatever you think of that movie, he looked cool when he was jumping around in that robe.
Yeah, absolutely. See, that's the thing, is that, like, I would wear stuff like that. I would wear, like, everything would be long. A coat would be long, and boots would be high. That's what it would be. Yeah. So I guess, I don't really have an urge to, as an adult, to dress as Batman, but c'est la vie. But I really want to hear what you guys would wear out in public. We, like, you know, both Matt and I really want to hear this. Like, what shirts are you scared to wear in public? And what would you like to dress to the nines with if there was no judgment and we lived in that Muppet world? Like, would it be full-blown Star Trek costume? Would you dress as Boba Fett? Would you dress as Neo? Let us know. You can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com. A lot of people like to message us on Facebook, so go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. Or you can find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin. And Matt, where can we find you?
And me at mhanson0207. I feel like we're ending the show, but we're only 22 minutes in.
No. We're not ending the show. It's just I wanted to remind people how to contact us because I want to hear from them. I want to hear people say, like...
And if you're not afraid, let us know and we'll... More power to you.
Yeah, if you're not afraid, let us know and send us a picture of you dressed as Bond and you're just walking around.
Yeah.
All right, well, we should probably get into our topic. Now that we're 22 minutes in, our topic is shows that we're excited for this year.
Which, you know, I'm kind of glad we're 22 minutes in because looking at over the pilot season, Tristan, I mean, it's not like I'm a pessimist and I don't want, like, I'm the one that says all new TV is crap. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, out of the five things that I've pulled that I'm excited for, only one is a new pilot. The rest are returning shows.
I'm a pretty jaded individual when it comes to TV.
You don't say.
Yeah, no. I like TV. I think we're in a golden age of television. I think we're, like, we passed the reality TV boom, and now we're in a golden age of scripted drama. I am excited about that, and I think I will fight anybody who says different. You know, like, I once heard somebody say, like, "Oh yeah, we're in a golden age of television." For every good show, I can mention five crappy shows that are on TV. I was like, "Well, yeah, it's always going to be that way. We have 5,000 channels."
No, but it's gotten so where the level of quality of certain TV writing has equaled or if not surpassed the level of film writing.
Exactly. That's the thing. And I think that's a good yardstick in which to measure that kind of TV show is how cinematic can it be? Because when we think movie, we think millions of dollars. We think $100 million and a year of pre-production.
And you know, I honestly think that's why people are more cynical with movies these days, quite honestly, is because they get this attitude like, well, we have such good writing at home that I'm getting for free. Why do I need to shell out $10 to go see a movie?
You know, I mean? It's just like in the 50s when TV first came out. You know, the filmmakers were like crapping their pants because they're like, why would they want to go see our movie if they could just stare at the idiot box in their living room? And so they had to invent new ways to put butts in the seats, and I think we're seeing that again.
Which is why we're still in the 3D age that we're in now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of, and you're absolutely right. But that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is those slim pickings, those shows that Matt and I are excited about, because there are a lot of pilots coming out. I mean, there's like 45 new shows on the major networks that are brand spanking new this fall, something like that. That's huge. That's a lot of shows. And... Yeah, I have a long list here Because I watch more TV than you do.
Well, shall we talk about the pilots that we're interested in? Because I only have one, but I have a feeling it's one that's going to appear, I think, on both of our lists, because we both expressed some enthusiasm for it in the past, and it's the one that we actually previewed our show last time for this show, and that would be the new ABC The Muppets.
That's right. Yes, that is the one pilot on my list. Actually, no, I just added a second one, but that was the first one that was on my list, is The Muppets. It's ABC. It's going to be an office-style television show where it's the whole mockumentary where they follow these people around with shaky cams, and then they do interviews. You know, they cut back and do interviews. So it's like Parks and Rec. It's like The Office.
That's why I like it. If any of you saw the preview, they're like, oh, we should do testimonials. And then they cut to Gonzo. That's a horrible idea. It's such a hokey, cliched idea. And they cut back and he says, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. Let's do this. Like, yeah. And in the testimonial, it's so gimmicky. You know, like people just like they say the opposite of what they mean, you know, in front of the cameras. But then they get back to these testimonials and just, you know, and say the real truth. And just like it's so gimmicky. And then that's exactly what happens. And it was funny because they called it out. You know, like that's the main criticism of mockumentary comedy, is that it's just the game of opposites, but yet they kind of gave a wink to the audience with that.
Now, what's so appealing to me, and also what's for some reason been off-putting to some people, is that this is, I would hesitate to call this a more an adult show, because it's not like this is like serious gripping drama, it's frickin' Muppets. But this is a more kind of geared toward, I would say, older ages, but still maintaining all ages show. Which I kind of like, because in spite of the fact that the new Muppet movies were quite successful and I enjoyed the hell out of them quite a bit, I mean, the biggest Muppet fans are people in our age range. They're the mm-hmm. older 20s to 30s that kind of grew up in the golden age of, you know, the original Muppets movies and Muppet Christmas Carol and all that sort of stuff in the 90s.
Right.
So the fact that it's geared more toward us, I'm actually really looking forward to. And believe it or not, Tristan, there are people out there who don't like the Muppets. And if you're one of those people, don't ever feel the need to write into the nerd party.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear from you.
Do not write into us and say that you don't like. Matthew and Tristan, I am one individual who does not appreciate the humor of the Muppets. I don't care. I don't want to know. Don't tell us. But that's okay. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about the kind of adult nature, because I thought it was going to be kind of like the whole Shrek scenario. Like when Shrek came out on the scene, it was, oh, this is a kid's movie, but you're like, oh, there's some really nasty hidden humor in there that the kids wouldn't get. And so I expected that to happen. And we kind of got that in the preview. There was a 10-minute preview that they released online, that was the pitch that they made to ABC that got them the order. And there was a couple of jokes in there. There was a couple of adult themes, you know, like Fozzie was, you know, like in a adult relationship with a woman, and they were talking about, you know, like shitting in the woods.
Yeah.
Without saying shitting. And they were in the like reference about like, how are they going to raise the kids? But then there was another comment from Kermit when he made a drug joke.
I know. Right. And I kind of like that. Now I forgot exactly. He says something, now we can have fun, and it's something like, now the band can have fun legally or something like
that. Yeah, like for the first time legally, yeah. And, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
But you know what? It's one of those, I thought it was one of those jokes where, like, if you have your kids watching the show, that's going to go right over their heads. It's not offensive in that sort of way. It is kind of like that Shrek or Pixar humor where they'll say something, and then the older adults in the room will laugh, and the kids will just kind of like keep watching the show. It's not gonna taint them in any way.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that like I agree with you 100%, and I like that kind of humor. I think it's funny, because I hate when it's not subtle. But I did see another promo for it with Nathan Fillion. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Yeah, there's another promo with Nathan Fillion, and he's talking with Kermit. He's like, hey, you know, hey, Kermit, I heard you're getting your own show. They're following you around and everything like that. And you're not with Miss Piggy anymore. Is that right? He's like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm not with Miss Piggy anymore. He's like, so you're saying I have a shot with her, or something to that effect. And he's just like, and let me finish.
Right.
And then, so the next shot that we go into is like Kermit's talking with someone outside of a trailer, and Nathan Fillion gets out of the trailer and he's all like disheveled. Like he has like lipstick all over his face and he's just like, whoo, whoo, like he's putting his shirt back on. And I was just like, holy crap. And then like, then Miss Piggy comes up and, you know, like, she's like, oh, hi, Kermit. You know, like, Nathan, yeah. Why are you still here? Could you, you're distracting. Okay. Your body is too distracting to me for me to work. Could you leave? And he's like, oh God, I'm sorry. And then like he walks away. She's like, yeah, that's right. Walk away. You know, it's just,
that's not bad, just, actually.
No, it's really funny, but at the same time,
no, I'm
time,
talking
you're
about
like,
your piggy.
Oh, thank you. I've been working on that. Yeah, like I can really only say like a couple of words as Miss Piggy. She's like, Kermit, no, you know, like stuff like that. But yeah, and so like I thought they were pushing the envelope with that a little.
They are. They are, and yet they aren't, because I don't know. Go back and watch some of those old Muppet movies, and they throw those kind of jokes in there every now and then. They're about as subtle as that, but they're there.
You're right. I guess I can understand, like, if parents got a little upset, I can understand where it comes from, even though I think it's completely okay.
I mean, because Piggy was my favorite movie is The Great Muppet Caper, the one that takes place in England. And in that one, you know, you have several scenes of Piggy flirting with Charles Grodin hot and heavily. So,
Charles,
you know,
Grodin.
Well, this was when he was young Charles Grodin, so. but still, I mean, like, it's not been done before, but it's kind of cool to see this on a primetime format. I hope it works. Mm-hmm. They've been trying to find vehicles for the Muppets. I will be watching the show. I think the promos have been brilliant, and supposedly the test audiences have been very happy. So, you know, hopefully that translates to numbers. But I love the Muppets. I can't wait to see this new show. I'm totally on board for this kind of theme that they're going for. I think it's brilliant because it's playing to us, which I consider the heart, the biggest fan base for their entertainment. I mean, I think the new Muppets movies, they were very successful with families, but they were also successful with us because me and my college friends wanted to go. Mm-hmm. We definitely added to that box office. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, even my wife and I mean, like, we like watching kids movies all the time, and we're not kids and we don't have kids, but like those movies were something that we were drawn to, like Treasure Island and the Christmas Carol and everything like that. It's fantastic, and it's just, yeah, I'm just as excited about you. Now the other pilot on my list, and I don't normally go towards pilots. Like the last pilot I was super excited about was House of Cards, which wasn't even a pilot. It was a full season launch, and that's mainly just because of Kevin Spacey and David Fincher. But I usually wait for shows to come out and then get the buzz, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it. Now, this show, it's called You, Me, and the End of the World. Now, this is a British import. Like, this, you know, for our listeners over in Europe, they already know about this show, but a lot of Americans probably don't know. And this is how it's described. It's for NBC. In this bold, adrenaline-fueled new comedy drama, the news that a comet is on an unavoidable collision course with Earth sets in motion the most hilariously unexpected chain of events imaginable. Set against the backdrop of apocalyptic chaos and starring Rob Lowe, Jenna Fischer, blah, 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 the story follows an eclectic group of seemingly unconnected characters around the world as their lives start to intersect in the most unexpected ways. Now, this also stars Megan Mullally. So, right off the bat, you have Jenna Fischer and Megan Mullally. And Rob Lowe, I think, is funny. I think he was a little over the top in Parks and Rec, but I think he can be funny.
I like Rob Lowe.
I like post-apocalyptic stuff. I do. And also, I like when it's mixed with humor. And I don't know. I think it could be fun.
I think it could be fun, too. I really like Megan Mullally. You know, as a card-carrying member of the gay community, I'm looking right over in my nightstand, and I see my Will and Grace DVDs. So I'm a big fan of hers. But I will definitely watch this because I had no idea this existed. But I don't know. The premise, the only thing that strikes me as odd is that premise sounds like it should be a one-and-done sort of season. I don't know how you keep on season after season of a comet is heading to Earth and these chain of wacky events is happening.
Well, you know, and we may end up getting that, you know, like we may get this limited release, or maybe, you know, like maybe they do it like on Lost, where one season is actually only 3 months or something like that. Or like, actually, no, like one season is a month. Yeah, that's how it was on Lost, where like one season was a month. So like if you like three seasons was only a summer, you know, that right. Maybe they do something like that. I don't know. But yeah, so and that's it. That's it for new stuff. I mean, there's you know, like, I guess if we should talk about it because we're in the land of geekdom, but they're what, Legends of Tomorrow, or what is that called?
Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow, DC show.
DC Legends of Tomorrow, okay. Yeah, so, okay, here's the thing. I have a confession to make, guys.
You're the DC guy.
I'm the big DC guy. So you guys, I'm the big DC guy. You guys know that. I love Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, Lantern, all awesome things. But I do not like DC TV.
Which is odd, because I think that the DC TV is actually more fun than the movies.
Well, see,
from what I've seen.
Well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, compared to what? I mean, like, compared to what movies? I mean, the Green Lantern movie? Yeah.
No. Also, their current crop can't be described as fun. It's going to be something, but...
fun. Okay, I get you. Well, I think they're fun. But, okay, I get that. I understand that. But
I think they're more appealing to a more general audience. Let me put it that way. Because I've caught bits and pieces, because my dad watches Arrow and The Flash, and, okay, you know, the little bits and pieces I've got, I was like, oh, these are actually human characters and not just doom and gloom all the time. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, see, I like doom and gloom. But with, here's the thing, is that I tried Arrow. I tried Arrow for about 3.5, 4.5 episodes.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
I heard it started slow.
It wasn't even that it started slow, man. It's just that every single action and verb that came out of their mouths just made me give a huge eye roll. I was like, this is acting? This is story? And I was just like, oh my God, this is so cheesy. This is like Doctor Who cheesy. Like, yeah. I couldn't do it.
I did hear quite a few criticisms of the first season. I do understand it got better, but I totally get that. Now, have you dipped your toe into The Flash yet?
No, I have not, and so I cannot pass judgment on the Flash. And the main reason why I haven't watched The Flash is because it's done by the same people who did Arrow.
It's
and
true.
Also, Supergirl has the same producers as well.
It's true. I do think, and I've seen, like I said, I've only seen bits and pieces, but I do think that Flash overall started much stronger and in a much more interesting place than Arrow did.
Okay.
So if you're gonna ever dip your toe in again, might I suggest that show?
Maybe I should do that. Maybe, like, if I get into The Flash, maybe, and if it's good, maybe I can go back and dabble in a little bit more Arrow. You know,
and they've done some Flash Arrow crossovers. So
I have seen the promotions for that, and did look interesting. I want to like these things, but I can't do it.
I don't know. Maybe, like I said, I think you got burned on a bad experience, but I would say give it another try.
Okay.
And this is me advocating for DC, which doesn't happen very often.
I was going to say, I'm going to take what I can get from you. All right, so let's go down. Let's just bounce around on your list. Like, give me a couple, I'll give you a couple, or I have more than you, so you can give me one, and I'll give you a couple.
So, unlike you and the DC shows, I do keep very abreast of all my Marvel shows, because just for the simple fact that, you know, the DC shows are fun, but those shows are occurring in a different universe than the movies will occur.
Yes, very separate.
Now, that's not the case with the Marvel shows. The Marvel shows occur in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we see every summer. So as such, even though, like, you can go without seeing them and still get the movies, any chance I could take to get into that universe, I will, so I keep abreast of everything. And actually, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of the things I'm looking forward to, and that's one that also started slow and a lot of people weren't happy with, but as soon as the Winter Soldier stuff hit and that started affecting the show, it got a hell of a lot better, and season 2 was a much more improved season than season 1 was. I mean, it kept fairly strong throughout. They added new characters, the dynamics getting more interesting, it left on a really good cliffhanger, so I have pretty high hopes for season 3. So I'll definitely be watching that. That comes back on September 30th, if I'm not mistaken. It's that last week of September that it's coming back. But the one that really started off good and stayed good, and I thought was just phenomenal that they pulled it off, is actually Agent Carter, which was the mid-season replacement for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season. It ran for only 8 episodes because it was like a winter interim show, mm-hmm. if you get my drift. And they bring back Peggy Carter from the Captain America films, and specifically, you know, more so the first one because it takes place in the 40s after Captain America has disappeared into the ice. And it just follows Agent Carter throughout the early days of, well, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not around yet, but it's getting ready to form. And she's having to go on covert missions for the research agency, and she's having to do it quietly because, you know, it's 1940s America, and she's supposed to be working as a secretary in the intelligence office. She's not supposed to be doing field work. And I don't want to go into detail because I would encourage anyone who hasn't seen it, once it gets on Netflix, to give it a try, because it was only 8 episodes, so you have to do very tight storytelling in 8 episodes, which I think is a good thing. And it was something that they got off perfectly right away. I was so into it. I was so intrigued. Peggy Carter, I think, is as far as the love interests go in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is the best one, mm-hmm. because she's an actual full-fledged character who can take care of herself. And what they ended up doing with her and making her more three-dimensional and giving her some more stuff to do and tying her in with the cinematic universe of the past, because also too you have Dominic Cooper's Howard Stark showing up. You have James Darcy playing Jarvis, an actual butler that works for Stark. That's how you get Jarvis, the, mm-hmm. the computer, later in the Avengers movies. And I just had so much fun with it. It was a nice, clean, tight storytelling that, got very niche numbers and ratings, but was mercifully granted a second season. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do with that. I think it's going to be in the winter time next year.
Yeah, I'm interested. I never gave it a shot. I never watched it. So I'm one of those people waiting for Netflix. I'm not saying no to it. I'm just waiting for Netflix so that I could just watch it.
And it's much less of a commitment, Tristan. It's 8 mm-hmm. episodes. Yeah. So it's almost like a mini series. But it was a really, really good mini series. Other than that, Tristan, just looking forward to my usuals. You know, looking forward to the next season of Kimmy Schmidt, even though the last episodes were kind of shaky.
I need to put that on my list. I'm so glad you brought that up.
The last episodes were kind of shaky, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with it in the second season. Looking more forward to continuing with Bates Motel as they get closer to Psycho, which was getting really cool last season. And those are the big ones that I could think of right now. But I know we're running a little bit long here in terms of our schedule. So real quick, Tristan, why don't you rattle off some of the things you're excited for?
All right. Well, I'll start with the comedies real quick, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I like these characters. They're diverse characters, and they have great representation across the board. Looking forward to have that come back. It's a nice kind of like set your brain off and just laugh show. Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers is a tour de force. Okay, that is a fantastic cartoon. That is solid comedy. Everyone who has not watched it needs to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's hysterical. It's better than anything that Seth MacFarlane has made in the realm of adult cartoons. And it's not offensive. And that's the thing. It's like they do not seek out to be offensive. They just try to be hilarious, and they are. Then there is Last Man on Earth. I was intrigued by the first season. I liked it. There were times when I freaking hated the protagonist. I was like, get over yourself. Good Lord, stop whining. Stop being so repetitive. Normally, I would write it off, but I'm really interested on where they're going to go in season two, because at the end of season one, you're like, what are they going to do now? And so I'm intrigued. And then you have Star Wars Rebels, which I genuinely like this show. I think it's
good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, like, I like it more than Clone Wars, and Clone Wars was really good. But Star Wars Rebels has this really, it's just, I feel like because we focus on one group of characters instead of dozens, like in Clone Wars, I feel like you get to be invested in these people more, and you're along for the journey, you're along for the ride. And also, I like this timeline much more, because it's much more closer to the original trilogy than it is the prequel trilogy. So I say give it a shot. I mean, it's nice. The first season is solid.
I'm definitely going to be dipping my toe more into Star Wars as we get closer to this new movie, so I'll probably give that a shot.
You really should. It's good. And, you have the old old faithfuls like Walking Dead.
Real quick, Tristan, what's your opinion on Fear the Walking Dead? Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have seen it. It was interesting. It was weird to see. I think the novelty of the show is, you know, like we're so used to the Walking Dead universe, and it's all post-apocalyptic. It's all like running through the woods away from zombies. And here it's like you see a city filled with people, and the zombies are starting to emerge, and people are like, what is going on? And so that novelty is cool. The first episode was really slow. It was really slow and kind of boring, but I really like the characters. I think we're going to go far with the characters, and I'm interested to see where it goes.
Good.
So we have those, and of course we have my one reality TV show, The Little Couple. I can't wait for that to come back. Such a positive show, such a positive message. Good people doing good things.
And don't forget about your new favorite, if I'm not mistaken, the Better Call Saul. I'm sure that's coming back.
That's on my list. I was that was the surprise of the year for me. That was fantastic. When that came out, I said, no way, it's not going to work. It's not going to be entertaining. It's not going to be good. And I am totally eating crow. You guys should watch it. Catch up on season one so you're ready for season two. It doesn't start, I think, until February or January. But it is so entertaining. It is so well done. It's yep. so well done.
It's become event television.
Yeah, and then you have True Detective Season 3 that's going to come out next summer. True Detective Season 2 was just such it was so abysmal. I was so disappointed. Season 1 was so great, and Season 2 was just a 180, so I'm hoping that they can redeem themselves. And then you have The X-Files. That's going to be an event, 6 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm a huge X-Files fan, and I hated the last movie. Hated it. Absolutely hated it.
As did most people, from what I understand.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll be able to redeem themselves. And then the best for last, House of Cards, season 4.
Hopefully they can redeem themselves, because I remember you not being as pleased with season 3 as you were the previous 2 seasons.
I really wasn't. I was not pleased with season 3, but I love these characters and I love the show, and so I'm willing to say, okay, season 3, not so good. Let's move on. Let's do something else. I'm willing to stick with it. Because I am infatuated with this show.
Well, that's I think that pretty much does it for our upcoming TV season. Lots of returning stuff that we're looking forward to, and you know, I hope the new stuff is successful. I'm really looking forward to that Muppet show. I can't wait.
I think out of everything new, and even everything that's returning, I'm pretty excited about the Muppets. But thank you so much for listening. As we said earlier in the show, you can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com. Go to our Facebook page. Please give us a like if you listen to the show, and send us a message. Let us know what you think of all this. What shows are you excited about? It's facebook.com/thenerdparty. And you can go to our website, thenerdparty.com, where you can find all of our previous shows. You can find me at The Insane Robin on Twitter.
And you can find me at mhanson0207. Thank you so much for listening to The Nerd Party. Join us again in 2 weeks, same time, same nerd channel.
Coming up next week.
Prepare for the 50th anniversary of the Bond franchise. With a new film by the director, whose most famous action scene to date was this. Skyfall, the overrated movie that thrilled audiences worldwide, only because it was way better than Quantum of Solace. Suit up with 007, the super secret MI6 agent, who everyone knows by his real name.
Bond. Bond.
Bond.
Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond.
James Bond. James
Bond. Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.